Good morning.
Good morning.
Wow, that was good. That was good. We welcome you to worship at College Park. So excited to be together. A few announcements we'll make as we get started this morning. We'd like to find out who is in worship. It's a very simple process that we use for that. There are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests, if you choose. Take that pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information if you choose. Send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. We do ask that last person, when it comes to you, send it back to where it got started. And that first person, when it comes back to you, please tear out the pages that were used today. And our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Reminder about several things. Many of these are listed in your bulletin under upcoming events and opportunities for the week. Lots of things happening. We are having children's time, so we're going to invite the kids to come down for just a few minutes after that first hymn. Normal schedule tonight with a little bit of a change. The youth will be having a fall retreat preview tonight in Smith Hall. That'll get started about 5:30. We invite youth to come to that. Other things are listed there in your bulletin. We want to say a special thank you. I've already welcomed you. We only do that once. Special thank you to a couple groups of people. This past Wednesday, we had two major collections that were going on at the same time. College Park continues to amaze me. I have been here for several years now, for 15, and I'm just, we're collecting two major things, hurricane relief and Operation Christmas Child. We did as many Operation Christmas Child boxes as we have ever done. It was incredible. I don't know if you were able to come into the gym and see the children and the youth working together to build those boxes. We made 85 boxes that were full. I mean, you couldn't close many of them, how full they were. So I want to say thank you to all those who were able to donate towards that effort. It was a great, great night. In addition, we also had the hurricane relief items. This was another truck that was headed to Grifton. And we want to say thank you for all those who made those donations possible. Many worked that night. Many of you gave, donated items. It was just a fabulous, it was what the church should be doing. It's what we should be doing. Very thankful, especially Josh Hooser made sure we had the delivery truck and the driver and to get it down there to coordinate all of that. Also, Stephanie Phillips and Lori Congdell, who coordinated a large donation from the Second Harvest Food Bank. Many of you have given money. We were able to purchase those items, and we're thankful for those three especially who were able to coordinate all those details. That is not an easy thing to do. So we are thankful for all those who served and sacrificed to make this past week's just another in the long line of giving. Of evidence of giving from College Park. So thank you so much for being a part of that. We do want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We are so thankful with your presence today. And we have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. Ladies, y'all do better than the men. Y'all know y'all get down here fast. I appreciate that. Just raise your hand if you're a guest right where you are. The ushers are going to give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, a little newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our church and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you so much for being a part of worship this day. We invite all those, we would like to take a few moments now. If you have served in our armed forces, you're active, retired, National Guard, reserves, and if you've served our country in any way in those armed forces, would you please stand and be recognized? We thank God for you. We thank God for your sacrifice. In many ways, you reflect Christ in giving up so selflessly for our country. Thank you for your sacrifice, and thank you for your example for all of us. We pray that God will bless you. It's time for us to turn our hearts to the one who gave the ultimate sacrifice. Will you pray with me? Father, as we pause to thank those who have served our country with honor and distinction, we thank you for their willingness to say yes. When our country called, they were willing to go. And Father, we can see you in their sacrifice. We thank you for Christ, who gave us all the ultimate example of serving when he took upon himself our punishment, our sin, our shame. And in so doing, destroyed death. Thank you that Jesus gives us the opportunity to come before your throne of grace. May we worship you with everything we have this day. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
right, I want to invite the kids. Come on down. Anybody brave enough? I don't know. There's some very shy ones out there. Does this matter if I hold up chocolate? Look how they're running now. Okay, I'll wait till everybody gets here. Y'all going to be sad in just a minute. All right. It's just more candy for me. That's the way I look at it. Hey, did y'all get some candy for Halloween? Yeah, crisscross applesauce. All right, how many of you would like, and y'all can't raise your hand. How many of you, especially the choir, y'all cannot raise your hand. How many of y'all would like some candy? Okay. I don't listen to them. All right, I'm gonna give you some candy here. There you go. Okay, there you go. There's some candy. All right. What? I gave her six. What's wrong with that?
We only got one.
You only got one? Choir, how much candy do y'all have?
None.
They got none.
We got what? We got six.
Does that upset you? Why? Because why? Your fair share. You didn't earn that candy. I just gave it to you. Here, just give it back. Give me the candy back. No, all of a sudden we like that candy. All right. Oh, well, there's a word that Pastor Raymond is going to talk about today. And you'll hear it in his message. It's called contentment. Do you know what that word means? No, it means being happy with what you have. Sometimes, I know, when you're looking at all this candy, that's a terrible word to learn. Contentment. You know, God has given you so many things. God has given us so many things. But how many times do we complain about what we don't have? We want a new toy. Moms and dads want something new. Instead of being thankful for what we have, we look at other people and go, hey, I want that. God wants us to remember that everything we have, He gave us. And to be thankful for what we have. That is contentment. Because we've all been given the greatest gift of all, Jesus, who loves us all exactly the same. No matter how much stuff we got, He loves us all the same. That's contentment. Will you pray with me? God, thank you so much for giving us Jesus. Thank you for how blessed we truly are. Even on our toughest day, your love is all we need. Help us to never forget and to always be content. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You come see me after church and I may give you a little bit more. Y'all go back to your seats now.
Thinking on Let us pray. Father God, thank you so much for your perfect Son. Thank you for this church and its leaders. Please bless our veterans today and our congregation. Help us make choices that always turns towards you. Bless the tithings and what we're about to give in your name. Be with us throughout the days and weeks to come. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
stuff. Good stuff. Good job, choir. You did bring it. See, I told you could bring it. Oh, my goodness. I hope you received an envelope and a letter this week. If you did not, that means you aren't on our church mailing list, and you probably need to contact the office and get on it. But it was a letter basically letting you know about our harvest offering. Next Sunday morning, instructions are on there, a lot of information there. So if you did not receive that, just know we will receive a harvest offering next Sunday morning. I have a letter and envelope I'd be glad to send home with you today. But if not, again, we'll have those envelopes and instructions again next week when we take it up. So let me know if you need to receive some of that. This week, we're going to continue, as Jeff's already said, we're going to continue in our third week of the study entitled Enough. And each week we have a subtitle. The subtitle today is called Cultivating Contentment. Cultivating contentment. Again, as I prepared, unashamedly, I will quote from Adam Hamilton's book, Enough. Also, there's a great little resource. I don't know if you've had an opportunity to purchase one of these in the past. It's a Bible entitled The Word in Life Study Bible. They went out of print back about 2000 or 2001, something like that. But if you can find one of those, they're a great resource for kind of practical study helps for application of Scripture. So that was a help this week, as well as various other stewardship resources, as we look at how we can cultivate a spirit of contentment in our own lives. Let me begin today with a couple passages of Scripture. One is from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. It says, "Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you." So we can say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me?" That's Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. And then Jesus' words in Luke 12, verse 15. "And Jesus said to them, take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." You know, in recent weeks and months, we have witnessed within our country, not only in our country, but around the world, but it seems to affect us more in our country if it happens to our next door neighbors or something like that, a lot of natural disasters. If you think about it, you know, we've had hurricanes, which Jeff has already alluded to with the relief effort, and we've got a team going down the end of this month to help with that. Floods out in the Midwest, tornadoes in the middle part of our country, wildfires that are still raging, you know, on the West Coast. And all of these things, these natural disasters, remind us that everything in this world is temporary. Everything's temporary. That's why we can say with Jesus, "My life does not consist in the abundance of possession." You know, the possessions are perishable. As Paul instructs us, we are to set our minds on the imperishable, because what is perishable is temporary. What is imperishable is eternal. So how do we invest in eternity? You see, our culture would not ask us to do that. Our culture would actually instruct us to the counter of that. Consume all you can. You know, turn on your radio, your TV this week. They already have pre Black Friday sales. Okay? You know, so I mean, it's all about consumerism. Despite the fact that Jesus said, you know, our life does not consist of the abundance of possession, our culture says, yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. And when we buy into that, you know, we kind of ruin our testimony, because before the world we are saying our life does not consist in the abundance of possessions, and yet our lives really do in action. So we have to be careful. We say one thing with our mouths, and yet our actions say otherwise. You know, the first week of our Thanksgiving study, it's been a couple weeks ago now, so this is your test. We talked about two illnesses that can affect us. Do you remember what they were? What's the first one? Affluenza, that's right. Affluenza, all right? You remember that, our discussion of that? The second one was what? Creditis. Yes, choir, you're getting A+ today, bro. Creditis. I would humbly submit to you for your consideration a third disease that sometimes affects us, and reserve the right to bring one more next week. I don't know. We'll see. But this is the third one, okay? And it is called RHS, Restless Heart Syndrome. Now, you may have heard of RLS. That's the condition where your legs twitch. You know that one? Hopefully you don't, but you know of it, you know? Restless leg syndrome. Well, restless heart syndrome is very similar. But instead of working on the legs, it works on the heart. It works on your soul. Its primary symptom is discontent. If we have RHS, we find that we are never satisfied with anything. The moment we have something, we scarcely take time to enjoy it before we want something else. We are permanently discontent. And you say, what? Is discontentment always a bad thing? No, there are times when being discontent is actually a virtue. Let me explain. There is a certain discontent that God intended us to have. God actually wired us up. He wired our hearts so that we would not be content with certain things, causing us to seek the one who can fully satisfy us. We are meant to yearn for a relationship with God. As Billy Graham says, we all of us have that thing within us, that hole within us, that void inside of us that only Jesus can fill. That Jesus-shaped void. We are meant to yearn for God, to cultivate a deeper prayer life, to pursue justice and mercy and holiness with an increasing fervor in our lives, to love others more, and to grow in grace and character and wisdom every single day as we walk with the Lord. That's when discontent is a virtue, because we yearn for God more and more and more and more. When discontent destroys us, you know, there's a problem here, because those things that we should be content with are the very things that we find ourselves hopelessly discontented with. For example, we find ourselves discontented with our stuff, with our jobs, with our churches, with our children, maybe even our spouses. And you know, when that happens, God must look down on us and feel the way that we feel when someone gives us a special gift and we ask for a gift receipt. Yeah, that's cold, isn't it? I see some of you going, man. Yeah, but see, it's like an effect we are saying to God, God, I acknowledge that you have given me such and such. I've acknowledged what you've given me, but I don't really like it. I want to trade it in on something better. And God shakes his head and goes, really? Seriously? So then, if that is the symptom, if that's symptomatic of restless heart syndrome, how do we cultivate contentment? How do we counter? How do we cure the disease? The Apostle Paul is an excellent example of contentment. I love the book of Ephesians, but I also love the book of Philippians. And I'm going to read from Philippians this morning. And I want you to go back. This is your homework. Several weeks ago, I gave you homework, and some of you actually text me and email me and says you appreciate it. So all the rest of you can blame them for having homework today. Your homework this afternoon is to read Philippians chapter 4, the whole chapter. It's not that long. Relax. It's not that long. Philippians chapter 4, but I'm going to read to you just two verses, verse 11 and 12. Correction. I'm going to back up to 10 because you need the context. Context. It's all about context. Yeah. Verse 10, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. Now, here's our verses. I am not saying this, what he just said, okay? I'm not saying this because I'm in need. For I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or living and want. Paul is teaching us what it means to truly be content. And we, like Paul, can learn to be content no matter what our circumstances are, no matter how we may find ourselves in life, twisted or turned or whatever. He tells us there is a way to be content. And here's how we've outlined this. Four keys, if you want to drop them down. Four keys to being content or cultivating contentment in your life. The first one is there are four words to repeat. Often, it could be worse. it could be worse. John Ortberg is one of my favorite authors. He's a pastor at Menlo Park Presbyterian Church in California. He says, those four words we should say often. You know, anytime we find ourselves discontented with something or someone, we should say, it could be worse. Right? This is essentially the practice that your mamas and your grandmamas used to tell you. Say, well, honey, just look for the bright side. Or look for that silver lining. There's always a silver lining. Yeah. It's recognizing that no matter what the circumstances or no matter our discontent with a person, there's always something good that we can focus on and we can choose. We can choose to have a better attitude about it. Your attitude is always a choice. Your circumstances, maybe not, but your attitude, always a choice. It could be worse. It's all about perspective. Second key to cultivating contentment is ask yourself this question. How long will this make me happy? How long will this make me happy? You know, so often we buy something thinking it's going to make us happy, only to find that the happiness takes about as long as it does to open the box, right? Now, there was that initial rush when we bought it, right? It's like, ooh, yeah. And we get it, it's like, I'm kind of over that now. You know? There is a sense of emptiness like opening that box and go, I really don't think I want this. I wanted it, but I really don't think I want it now. And see that a lot of the things we buy simply are not worth the expense. When we look at it in retrospect, we have a lot of buyer's remorse because we think, you know, since I ordered that, there's things I found out that I really need, and I don't need that. So ask yourself before you purchase, how long do I really think this is going to make me happy? Third thing maybe to help cultivate contentment is to develop a grateful heart. Develop a grateful, not a greedy heart, but a grateful heart. You see, gratitude is essential if we're going to be content. The Apostle Paul said that we are to give thanks in all circumstances in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances. He did not say give thanks for all circumstances. He said give thanks in. Again, it's that attitude. No matter where you find yourself, you can control your attitude. A grateful heart recognizes that all of life is a gift. Contentment comes when we spend more time giving thanks for what we have than thinking about what's missing or what we would rather have. Number four, ask yourself this question, where does your soul find true satisfaction? Where does your soul find true satisfaction? The world tells us we should find satisfaction in ease and luxury and comfort/money. The Bible, from the very beginning, answers the question quite differently. From Genesis to Revelation, it tells us that we find our satisfaction in God and God alone. There's a couple passages of Scripture I'd like to read to you. One of them is from Psalm chapter 63, I'll read portions of verse 1, 5, and 6, kind of fit it together. Oh God, you are my God, I seek you, my soul thirsts for you. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips when I think of you on my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. Do you hear within the psalmist this contentment, this pure joy in knowing and seeking God? Then from Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure. Then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had spent in doing it. And again, all was vanity and chasing after the wind. What he is lamenting here is, I indulged, as we talked about last week, I was the prodigal. I took it all in. And at the end of the day, I looked back, considered what my hands had done, the toil, all the work that I'd done, and just blew it all. And I realized it was all vanity, like chasing after the wind. One of our early church fathers, St. Augustine, had a seminary professor that told the class quite clearly, St. Augustine is a city in Florida. St. Augustine was one of our church fathers. Okay, so this is St. Augustine, who said, "Thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee." Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee. Jesus said the most important things we must do are to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and with all of your mind. And he said the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. If we keep our focus on those two things, love God, love people, I think we will begin to find our way towards satisfaction, contentment, lasting contentment. And for cultivating this life of contentment, it's probably good that we seek simplicity. We mentioned this last week, said we would go into it just a little bit more this week, but because I see contentment and simplicity kind of going hand in hand. Does that make sense? You know, the simpler things are, usually the more content you are. So if you want to be a little bit more content in life, let me briefly kind of run through several suggestions that I read and added a couple. It's good. I think it's good, solid counsel for all of us. The first one is to set a goal for reducing consumption, period. Everything, energy, everything. You know, make good decisions about what you buy. Only buy it if you really need it. If you can borrow it or something like that, or rent it, you know, reduce your utilities by turning down or up your thermostat, whatever the season is appropriate there. Whatever your however you can reduce consumption, do so. I think that gives us more simplicity in our lives. Second, before making a purchase, ask yourself, do I really need it? And why exactly is it that I want this? It goes back to the opening the box deal, you know. These questions kind of help you to determine what is your true motivation behind purchasing something. Is it something you really need? Is it a competition with your neighbor? Christmas light season is coming, guys. Is it a competition with your neighbor? Is it a self-esteem booster? Do you need to buy this or wear that or whatever to boost your own self-esteem? What is it exactly? Why is it you think you need it? And you may find yourself wrestling with your true motive, and I think that's healthy. Wrestle with it. Come to peace with your decision before you purchase something you don't need. Thirdly, use something up before buying something new. I got all kinds of stories I could tell you about this, but I'm not going to take the time. But I've heard people say, yeah, I keep hoping so-and-so will break because I want a new one. And it's not until I feel guilty if I buy it before it breaks. I'm like, well, yeah, I get that. Okay, but do we always use up things? And I had some great testimonies after 9 o'clock, you know, things that you just stockpile and you use. Why am I buying this? I don't need this. I don't need any more of this. You know, use it up or wait for it to break before you buy it. And if it breaks and it's broken because it's rotted because you haven't used it, you probably don't need to replace it, right? Number four, plan low-cost entertainment that enriches. You know, when it comes to planning entertainment for your family or friends, plan something that's simple and inexpensive. My catchphrase here is make a memory, not a new debt. Make a memory. You'll be amazed at how much pleasure you can derive from simple joys, right? You all know what I'm talking about. You experience that, the fellowship with family and friends, and how much joy that brings to your life. Number five, ask yourself, are there major changes that would allow me to simplify my life? Consider downsizing your home, canceling a club membership you don't use, maybe selling a car that you have so that you can pay for one in full. Ask yourself questions, all the hard questions about possession and job and activities and all those things that are necessary to simplify. You know, if you got stuff laying around, we talked last week about reducing your debt and also increasing your savings. You got stuff laying around your house you don't use, sell it before it loses all its value or breaks, okay? So there's all kinds of outlets for selling things, apps on your phone, Let Go, Craigslist, all these type of places that you can sell stuff you don't need. And then you can take that money and reduce your debt or put it in your savings. All these things, all of these things meant to simplify your life. And you can do those things. And remember, you know, as God calls you and leads you, you can simplify your life so that you can find more joy in your life. You're not trying to manage stuff. You're just walking with the Lord. And I get it. That requires a lot of self-control, and that's a whole other sermon we won't preach today. It requires self-control and some tough questions to ask. But I want us to end up with the last question I'll give you, which is, which tent will you live in? Which tent will you live in? You can live in discontent, or you can live in contentment. Only you have the power to decide which tent you want to live in. Only you can control that. God gives you a choice. You choose in large part by deciding what life is all about. What does life really mean to you? Where is the fullness in life? By deciding that question, you are in effect deciding where you're going to live. Which tent will you live in? So then what does contentment look like? Choosing contentment means we look to God as our source of everything, giving thanks truly for what we have. We ask God to give us the right perspective on money, possessions. We ask God to change our hearts every single day. And then we decide to live simpler lives, wasting less, conserving more, investing more in eternity, living generously, not selfishly. That's what contentment looks like. Let's pray together. I invite you again today, as we have been, if you would, as you sit there, place your palms face up on your legs in front of you in a posture of both giving your life to God as well as receiving His word this morning. And as I pray this prayer, pray along with me silently. Lord, we pray that You might cure us of restless heart syndrome. Father, we are so truly sorry for the times that we've received the gifts that You've given us and in effect asked for a gift receipt. Father, forgive us of the times when we were dissatisfied with a person that You entrusted to our care. Forgive us when we've been dissatisfied with our children or our parents or our spouses or our home or our car or our health or our jobs, any of those things. Father, forgive us for the time that we've offended You by our discontentment. Forgive us for being content with the things that we should not be content with. And give us a hunger to pursue righteousness and holiness and justice and mercy and love. Father, give us a hunger to long for You and Your will in our lives. Help us to simplify. Father, to get out of the rat race and enjoy life, to find our peace in You. We ask all of these things in the name of Your holy Son. Amen. If you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus personally, that is the primary invitation, to know and to walk with Christ. What a privilege, what a joy. It takes a relationship with Him. If you're here and you don't have that relationship, I'll be here at the front as we stand and sing, be glad to tell you how you can be in relationship with Christ. If you're here and you are a believer, but you said, man, talk about the rat race. I'm right in the middle of it. I want to simplify. I want to gear down. I want to have comfort. I want to have peace in Christ alone. You can settle that right where you are. The hymn is appropriate as you sing the words this morning. You can make that your prayer, your recommitment to Christ. The altar will be open if you want to come here. I'll be glad to speak with you. If you're here and you say, I'd like to be a member of College Park, there are a lot of ways we receive members. And next time we come around, you can vote on deacons, okay? There's a lot of ways we receive members. Be glad to speak with you about that. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. I want to invite you, following our benediction and choral response, greet one another. Be sure and welcome our guests as we go from this place into our mission field. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this chance to be together, to worship you, to refocus on the things that are most important. Father, help us to put those priorities in place in our life this week so that as we go about your work, being your hands and feet, that your name would be glorified and we would always point others to Jesus. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.